You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. It is one of the heartwarming stories of the 2017 baseball season. Our guest, at age 69, is a rookie in the big leagues as the bullpen coach for the Miami Marlins after 29 years in the minor leagues. That's longer than half the Marlins roster has been alive. He is also the only coach in baseball history, we believe, that has served as a cop, then an undercover cop, and then a detective. He did this in his hometown of San Luis Obispo in California. So many people in the game are so happy for Dean Traynor. Dean, it's great to have you on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. People are thrilled for you. You know this, right?
A lot of people are coming up and saying stuff, and it just makes it that much more humbling. It's been a long journey, but I think things happen for a reason, and I guess this was my time.
And so many people, I'm sure, who knew you or knew of you in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of calls, a lot of texts, players who I don't even know, and other coaches have reached out. And it's just, it's a good feeling. It's really, like I said, humbling and makes that journey worthwhile.
And this is your second time, actually, in the Marlins organization because you managed for 5 years, from 2002 to 2003, and again from 2005 to 2008. So, in a sense, this is sort of a homecoming.
It is, and there's still people here that were here before, and so that's a good feeling. And now it almost feels like I've come back home.
Tell us how you found out you were going to the major leagues.
Well, it was in November, and I had got a call from Michael Hill, prior to that, I guess they had asked for permission from the Pirates to talk to me, and Don Mattingly had called me. We had a great conversation. Juan Nieves, the pitching coach, had called me, and we also had a great conversation, and not really knowing where things were going to go, but then Michael Hill called me a few days later, and Mike was here, when I was here before, and then basically kind of out of nowhere, he said, "We want to offer you the job as a bullpen coach," and I just jumped at the chance.
I'm assuming you were surprised.
I was. I didn't know that this had been in the works, and I was assuming that I was going to be going back to Indianapolis with the Pirates for another minor league season there, and then the phone call was just very exciting, very excited about the opportunity, and then I had to share that with my son and my mom.
And in effect, you're also an assistant pitching coach, given your experience.
Yeah, a lot of background in as a pitching coach, and Juan has been great about
Juan Nieves, right?
Right, getting me involved with everything, and he just kind of let me have these guys in the bullpen, and also talking to some of the other guys. But it's a great working relationship. Juan has, I've known him for quite a while, but never had a chance to work with him. And that's just a big positive in all of this also.
You referenced the Pirates. We need to put that in context. You spent the past 6 years managing Indianapolis, Pittsburgh's AAA, and did a fantastic job there, helping to groom players such as Starling Marte and Josh Harrison and Gregory Polanco and Jordy Mercer. And I would think after that amount of time, it was a little difficult leaving the Pirates.
It was. Still a lot of good friends there. It's kind of bittersweet, but this is a new challenge for me. And I've developed a lot of relationships with the players and staff guys.
How about this, Dean? Unlike the minor leagues, you put your bags outside the hotel room in, say, Philadelphia, and then you don't see him again until you move into your hotel room in Chicago. No more carrying your own bags.
I'd say that's one of the great perks about this, and it took a little getting used to. You get used to doing everything yourself, and you try to do that, and the guys say, no, you have to let somebody else do that. So yeah, it's one of the great perks of this.
And let's face it, the pay is a little bit better.
It is a little bit better, that's for sure, and the per diem's a little bit better. You know, it's the clubhouses obviously are way better, and the meals in the clubhouse. So it's a new experience, but it's a great one.
Let's talk about your career on the field. You were drafted by Cincinnati as a pitcher in 1971. How many millions of dollars did you get when you got drafted in 1971, Dean?
It was for a very small amount, that's for sure, very small amount. But it was exciting for me, and although it was a brief career, but it was exciting, and it was something that I'd always wanted to do.
You made it to Double A, but then a rotator cuff injury ended your career. Honestly, how good were you? You were in the minor leagues. You had a terrific collegiate career at Cal Poly. Did you think you had major league talent?
I thought so, and you hear what people think and what scouts say, and scouts had followed for a while, and I got hurt my junior year and felt that I was going to get drafted that year, but the injury kept me from that, and it's you like to think that you had the ability. And that's one of the things that you'll never know. But now it's the career's taken a different course, and you dream about being in the big leagues, playing in the big leagues. That didn't work out, but now that I'm here in this position, it really is a dream come true.
Any bitterness that your injury caused your career to end? And we should mention, there were not the advances in medicine at that time, of course, than there are now, which might have saved your career. Was it tough walking away from the game under those circumstances?
It really was. There was a lot of bitterness about that, there's a lot of what ifs in there. But and you're right about, when it was diagnosed, they tried to rehab. I went to see some specialists, but the bottom line was that if you had surgery at that time, your career was over. So, you try to stay away from the surgery and try to rehab it, but it just didn't work out. So there was, feelings, but baseball remained in the blood, and life takes its course. And again, I think things happen for a reason. A family came out of that, and I have I have a son and a daughter and four grandsons now, and I really feel that if things had happened differently, that might not be the case. So I think things have worked out. I'm I'm in a good place with all of that now, you can't ask for the way things have turned out any better.
Dean Traynor is with us. He's the new bullpen coach in Miami with the Marlins. At age 69, after 29 years in the minor leagues, your life takes a detour after you get hurt, and you find your way into law enforcement. There's not a lot of people, Dean, that I've come to know, having the great good fortune to be around the game for as long as I have, who went into law enforcement. Tell us how this happened.
Well, it was one of those things. You come back, you don't know what you're going to do, you had some ideas when you went to school that, what might happen after college. And it was really, there's no real cool story about it. It's just that I needed a job, and I was always interested in the law, and I was going to maybe look into a law degree at one point. But this just struck my interest, and I applied, got the job, and you know, that career, another career took off from there.
You answered an ad?
It was. It was. They were advertising that they were hiring, and you know, I didn't think much about it when I saw it, and the more I thought about it, I said, well, you know, maybe I'll apply, and did. But yeah, it was just an advertisement that they were hiring.
And you give 13 of your lives to law enforcement, serving us as a beat cop, an undercover narcotics agent, and a detective. You must have a million stories.
There are a lot of them, that's for sure, and there are some good ones in there. You know, it's one of the tough things about you know that life or that role in law enforcement is that you know, you have a tendency to see really the worst in people, but a lot of good things happened out of that, and you do again develop relationships there that I still have with some of the guys that I'd worked with. In fact, some of them were going to be down in Los Angeles, you know, when we go there. But it's a whole different life, whole different lifestyle, and you know, it's funny, like, you know, how your career changes and how your life changes.
As an undercover cop, you were, as my mother, may God rest her soul, would say, you were disheveled. Were you not disheveled?
Disheveled, yeah. You know, there's periods of time that you don't get that shower, and you know, it's like I said, it's a whole different lifestyle. And when you are disheveled, people look at you differently, and that's one of the things that you look back on and laugh about a little bit is that, you know, and when you're going through all that, if people really knew. But yeah, you have to assume some identities, you have to assume some roles, and unfortunately, all that dishevelness goes with that.
But I'm assuming there were times you actually had guns in your face.
That happened. Yeah, it happened on thankfully a very few occasions. It was a case of PCP, a guy that was, you know, trafficking really up and down the state of California. And I had someone who was working for me informant-wise and set this transaction up. And, you know, I think it was once we met in a parking lot. I had surveillance behind me. There were, you know, it was a black and white under concealment. And anyway, I met this guy and along with the informant, and I think it was just a matter of trying to, I guess, test me or check it out or whatever. And anyway, I was able to talk my way out of that situation. The you know, the deal went down and an arrest was made, and hopefully, you know, we got a lot of PCP off the street.
Wow. Dean Treanor is our guest on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. And in preparing for this interview, Dean, I read about the case of a 2-year-old girl who was beaten to death by her mother and her live-in boyfriend, and that really had a profound effect on you.
It did. It you know, there'll be times that I still think about it, and it resonates with me still. It was a long time ago, but just the idea of that happening. And, you know, I think one of the things about law enforcement is that, you know, you try to, it's really about the victims, and sometimes the victims have no name, and no one can really fight for them. And it was just a case that I needed to be involved in, and I actually saw it all the way through. The trial took place in Santa Barbara, and I went down there and stayed throughout the case, and obviously had to testify and so on. But it affected me probably like no other case did. Still have a picture of that little girl, and it's just one of those tragic things that happen in life, and that will affect you and really have you look at life differently. My kids were small at the time, and, you know, you go home at the end of the day after.
And you kiss, you know, them and hug them.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, that just, again, has an impact, and I think it had an impact in the relationship that I have with him.
In the late 80s, you go back to baseball, thanks to your friend Mike Kruko, who followed you a few years later to Cal Poly. Mike, of course, a terrific pitcher with the Cubs, and he was pitching with the San Francisco Giants at the time. Were you feeling burned out in law enforcement then?
That's probably a good way of putting it. It was a great time for the call. And, you know, Mike and I had stayed in touch, and his son and my son were real good friends growing up. And like I said, the call came at the right time, and it worked out. And I have, obviously a lot to thank Mike for making that phone call and for recommending me. And we still talk about it. And, I couldn't thank him enough. But the timing was right. It was with all these things that had happened, the undercover part, that you do get burned out on that. And then the other cases that I had, that it was the phone call just came at the right time.
Did you feel rescued?
I did. And to get back into baseball, and like I said, it's in your blood. Once it's been there, it doesn't leave. And, you try to stay in touch with the game as much as you can. That's a great way of putting it, that, I did feel rescued.
So in 1988, you managed the Fresno Suns, a farm club in the San Francisco organization. What do you remember about that?
One of the greatest baseball names in he never made it to the big leagues, but I actually recall that Vin Scully actually used his name on air, I think on a Saturday broadcast, Rocco Buffalino. And, there's no better baseball name than that.
That's right up there with Valentino Pescucci, who hit a million home runs.
Exactly. So, and this guy was quite a character. There were a lot of characters on that team. I still remember the names, Dave Nash and, just a lot of characters and just a great experience and just a great way to get back into baseball.
How was the transition that year?
Not as smooth as you would like, but I had a great owner.
If a guy missed a sign, you didn't arrest him, right?
Yeah. I will say that, it was a strange story that, we're on the road in the California League, and we're up in Modesto, and we stay, there's no hotels, at that time in the league. It was all motels, and actually, I got off the bus and was in the parking lot, and something was going down at that motel, and somebody had recognized me.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Incredible. No, they took off, and, all you could do was laugh at that. But kind of a interesting story.
A collision of your past life and your current life.
Exactly. So it was, it was pretty funny. But a lot of good memories, and Dave Kramer was the owner of the team, and he was just a great guy. And the transition, it wasn't as smooth as you would like, but it was pretty good.
You had more than 20 jobs in 29 years. You won 1,000 games in the minor leagues. Did you think this is my life? That's it. And did you have dreams of coming to the major leagues?
I guess you think about it. People talk to you about it, and why aren't you there? But I was in a good place. My mom did a great job of bringing my kids to see me every summer, and we have such great memories. When I was in Albuquerque with the Marlins, when I was in Indianapolis with the Pirates.
And you're the all-time leader in victories at Albuquerque. Please continue.
and you're in a good place. If that was it, I was good with that. It was about the players and getting them ready and a lot of names come through there. A lot of names came through Indianapolis, and I was good with that. But
But you really had the managerial bug, because in the off season you would go manage in Puerto Rico, you'd go manage in Mexico, you'd go manage in the Dominican.
That's true, and yeah, it's that's a great way to put it. Yeah, I did have the bug, and you know, the Dominican is just it's a whole different experience. The fans are incredible. The atmosphere is incredible, and the pressure is incredible, and it's just something you thrive on and really can't get enough of. And, you know, I think it has, all of that winter ball has really actually helped in my relationships with the Latin players. And you know, it's funny, there's players with other teams that never played for you but will come over and say something to you when you see them, just because of that, you know, time spent there in the relationship.
In our remaining moments with Dean Traynor, the new bullpen coach with the Miami Marlins, do you ever see any skills in your prior life that have translated to baseball? The skills of your life in law enforcement now that you use in baseball?
I think, I don't want to say interrogation techniques, but
Why'd you miss that sign? Why'd you throw the curve? I asked for the fastball. What's wrong with you?
But when you have those one-on-one meetings in your office, you can tell. I mean, in that past life, if you walk into a house and you don't know what's in there, you know, you've got to be able to read the room and read who's in there and read people. And I think that is something that is carried over and talking to these guys and really trying to get them to recognize, you know, really the talent that they have and try to maximize all that. So I just think that ability to talk to people is one of the things that has carried over.
Has there ever been a thought in all these years, all the service that you have given to baseball, about returning to law enforcement?
You know, there has. You know, my son and daughter are both in law enforcement, which is incredible itself.
What do they do?
My son is actually at the same department. He started in Los Angeles at LAPD, and he put in over 2 years there, and then there was an opening back home, and he was able to get back up there, and I was very thankful for that, to get him out of Los Angeles. And my daughter's in the Secret Service. And
wow.
My son, very well respected. I hear nothing but great things about him, and he's going to advance in that department. My daughter just got a promotion, and so I think they've overshadowed anything that I've done, that's for sure. But, you know, in talking to them, that, you know, that it's still in there about, you know, the aspect of that and trying to do right by people and good for people and the you know, protecting part of that. And it's still there. And maybe at some point, you know, maybe a consulting role or something, you know, you kind of think about it every once in a while. But I couldn't be happier where I'm at right now.
You do know your life is a movie, don't you?
My son keeps saying that. He says, you know, when are you going to write that book and all that? But, you know, I try to live in the moment, and people think that my life is much more interesting than I do, but, you know, it's all good.
What are your emotions being in the major leagues now after all this time?
It's really the confirmation and the distance that you have from your family, your kids growing up. We have a great relationship, spent a lot of time together in the off season when they were growing up. And I think it just validates everything that they've gone through with me. And they've been on this journey with me. My mom, the same thing, that, like I said, that she got them to see me during the summer. It just validates the journey, and that they've been a part of this just means everything to me.
What a great story, and I so thank you for sharing it. So that'll do it for Dean Traynor and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.